Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad James Cramer is here, too. James J. Cramer is here, and you know who he is. Jim Cramer, you've seen him on television many times before. He's one of America's top investment experts. He's co-founder of TheStreet.com. He's a market commentator on CNBC and a number of other places. He is the host of the brand new show Mad Money with Jim Cramer. He's the former co-host with Larry Kudlow of Kudlow and Cramer, and he's, as I said, he's got a new book out called Real Money. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. I'm excited about you being on the show, and I hope this won't be the last time you're on.
I hope so, too. I look, you speak to small business people. I think that when we look at this great country, where's the growth? Where are people really making the bets and having them pay off? It's small business. It sure isn't GM.
Well, I hear you, and I appreciate you saying that. And by the way, folks, Jim, you also have your own radio show, don't you?
Yes, I have Jim Cramer's Real Money, which is the same title as the book,
and right.
It's on 100 stations, all top 10. We are also in the top 10 markets, and it is just, I think, the ultimate touch show. I open the phone lines, I take tough questions about stocks and portfolios, and I try to fix 401ks, get people back on their feet, and get them focused and interested on their own money.
What day part is that on the radio?
I do the show live from 3 to 4. It's taken in many different areas at different times.
But it's live from 3 to 4. All right,
yes.
That's good. Okay, Jim, what I want to talk to you about is I want to ask you some questions that some of them I knew before I got your book, and some of them I got I picked out of your book. Tell us first, what's the difference between investing and trading?
Oh, great. Okay. Investing means taking a position, doing a lot of homework in that position once, both before you bought it and after, hopefully over time building the position up to a substantial amount of money and following it over multiple years. Trading is knowing there's an event that's about to occur, trying to figure out exactly whether you've got the best handle on that event, buying the stock the day or week before that event, and then booting it out immediately when the event occurs. And I think a lot of people confuse and conflate the two, and that's how so much money is lost.
Well, don't you think it's because we know we need to be investing, but we really want to be traders?
Totally, which is why what I recommend in my book is a healthy diet of investing and speculation. I'm the only guy, I think, out there who's willing to say, point blank, it's okay if you want to take 20% of your non-retirement money and speculate. Absolutely, that's fine. I don't even mind it. I just need you to be interested. But I don't want you to start speculating with stuff that's meant for investments, and I don't want you to turn trades into investments. That's
oh, okay. All right. Go back to that. Don't turn trades into investments.
Oh, well, people buy let's use an example right from the headlines here. Starbucks just reported 6% sales gains for the month. I think a lot of people are looking for 8 to 10%. Mm-hmm. Anybody who bought Starbucks hoping that that number would be better is now sitting there with a loss and is trying to figure out whether you should buy more, hold, or sell. Well, you bought it for a trade. You were waiting for a good number. You got to go now. But most people will then turn it into, unbelievably so, an investment, and it will just then go down and down and down, and they'll never make any money.
So you can fall in love with your investments, but don't fall in love with your trades.
Well, I like that. I should be using that. That's exact. that is precisely what I'm talking about. I love it. For instance, this is going to sound very strange and counterintuitive. Let's say I'm building a position. I'm building a position in Chevron, the great oil company. Let's say I want 1,000 shares of Chevron, $57 stock. I'll buy 250 and then hope it goes down. Hope it goes down, because I want my investment to be at the best possible basis. But
right.
If I'm trading, I buy 1,000 Chevron at 57, and if I'm betting on an upgrade or something, if I get it, boom, I'm gone. If I don't get it, I'm also gone. Don't turn a trade into an investment.
Well said. Jim, in Chapter 4, you talk about how to start investing with a small amount of money. There are a lot of people out there who are just starting out with their very first IRA or something like that. Take us through that plan that you identified.
Sure.
In Chapter
4. The first thing you have to recognize is that there's only one free lunch in this business, and that's diversification. Until you have saved $10,000, you should not be owning individual stocks. Now, this is something that the brokerage industry really doesn't want me to say.
Say that again. Folks, this is going to be on the test.
You should not be buying individual stocks if you have less than $10,000, because you can't get diversified.
Mm-hmm.
Someone with $9,000 to invest should go buy a mutual fund. If you don't have time, I have a bunch of mutual funds whose managers I really respect in my
book. What do you recommend?
I happen to be a huge fan of Will Danoff, who is the manager of Fidelity Contra. I also like Richie Freeman, who's the manager at Smith Barney Aggressive Growth. And I like Rich Pizina, who is at John Hancock Value. Notice, I mentioned actual managers' names, not
about
funds' names. If
right.
the manager leaves, I'm out of that fund.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on then. That's a real good point. But after 10,000, then should we get out of the mutual funds and move into individual stocks or leave the 10 in the mutual funds?
Great question, Jim. And the answer is you leave the 10, and it's with the additional money that then you can start doing it on your own. Again,
so
this
it's
is
a
very contrary
type of thing.
Advice
First,
to what the industry tells you.
Two-tier kind of thing. First 10's mutual funds. After that, you're on your own.
Exactly. And that way, I know that if you stumble and you pick an individual stock, and you can stumble. I mean, I've stumbled many times. If you stumble, you'll still have that terrific fallback, which is the $10,000 that
right.
you have put
and
in.
And, of course, you're not saying don't buy more than $10,000 in mutual funds. You're just saying that's the rule of thumb for the beginning.
Right.
By the
well,
way,
what
folks,
I say is that the main issue involving your money is your time and your inclination. If you can't give me the time that it takes to be able to watch a ball game to handle your money, please farm it out to one of the guys I recommend. But if you do, I'm confident you can beat those guys. You have much fewer constraints. You can really just drill down much better than any manager who's constantly worried about new money coming in.
Folks, this book, if you're looking for a formula that's on a sheet of paper that you can rip out and pin up over your ticker, this book's not the book. This book,
right.
Jim takes you through, this is narrative. This is all narrative. It's like
yeah,
a novel.
You raise a great point. You know, there's a book on the bestseller list right now, which is like how to make money instantly. And, you know, I spent my life making money. There's nothing instant about it.
Well, what I like about the book is that you take people by the hand and you lead them through your thoughts and your ideas. Folks, it's a fun book. It's a good read, and you're going to get a lot out of it. But you're not going to get a lot of formulas, I can tell you that. But there are 10 commandments of trading by Jim Cramer and 25 investment rules. Those are there. We're going to talk about some of that, and we'll come back with our new friend and your old friend, Jim Cramer, right after these messages. It's 20 after. The new book is called Real Money. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things, like the thousands of archives of past shows that you can listen to, and also the articles that are there. And we have a new Brain Trust member. His name is James J. Kramer. You know him as Jim Cramer. You see him on television. You've heard him on the radio. You've read his books. You've read his columns. He's one of America's top investment experts, and he's our guest right now, and he's just agreed to join our Brain Trust. Jim, thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I'm thrilled that you asked me.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, quick question. You were on a show recently, up till recently, with somebody else that we know, Lawrence Kudlow.
Right.
Kudlow and Cramer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my audience wants to know what happened to that show.
Okay. Larry and I are together 4 years. I will be on a show tonight, by the way. And we both wanted our own shows. Now, we are very different people who like each other very much.
You would, we would never have guessed that.
But he is interested in politics. Now, I don't mean to – I happen to care passionately about local politics. I'm very involved with school board issues in my town. I'm very involved with police issues in my town. But I'm not a political guy. I'm a money guy. I'm a stock guy. And I wanted to talk stocks. He wouldn't talk politics. We both went to the network, said, "Let's give us our own shows," and they gave it to us. And now we're back to back. We get two hours instead of one.
They both got their own shows. That's a great story. And thank
it
you.
It ended well.
Thank you for clearing that up.
I respect him tremendously.
And give Larry our best.
I will.
Okay, let's move on and talk about some other things. Oh, by the way, give us your website before we go any further.
It's thestreet.com.
All right.
The Street is one word. I started it 9 years ago to help smaller investors be equal with the larger investors whom I had worked for 20 years previous. And we're doing pretty well. We're in our second year of profitability after 7 years of struggle.
Congratulations.
And, but you know how small businesses are. Once they turn big, and we're doing pretty well.
Right. Well, congratulations. And the book is called Real Money. I know it's available wherever books are sold.
Yep, and I'll tell you, it was a pleasure to write because I tell about all my mistakes so you won't make them.
Right. Speaking of which, you said you learned that you failed as an investor because you foolishly followed the conventional wisdom about stocks. What do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of times when I first got started before I met my fabulous wife who was my trading partner, I call her the trading goddess.
She's the real power behind all
this,
right?
Yes, she is. I kind of felt that what you did was you just bought high quality stocks and forgot about them, buy and hold. And she just said, Jim, the moment you buy the stock is when your work begins, not when it ends. And it really was kind of revelatory because I think most of America thinks, well, you go buy a very good stock and that you're finished. And she said, you've got to bird dog a stock like you have to bird dog a player if you're an owner of a sports team. And that's pretty much what ever since she turned me on to that, that's when I really started making a lot of money.
Right, right. Jim, one of the things I wanted to ask you, and this is about small businesses, it's redundant to say undercapitalized small businesses. Most of us need all the funds we can get our hands on just to grow our businesses. Do you have any wisdom for us with regard to knowing when to invest in ourselves and when to invest in other companies?
I think, yes. I think that, unfortunately, so many of us are bad investors in ourselves. We want to give up when actually we should be doubling down on ourselves. My experience when I started TheStreet.com was kind of interesting. I was out there all by myself. We were losing money hand over fist. And I came home one night to my wife. I said, listen, I just don't see any chance that this thing's ever going to work. And she said, you've always been so, so helpful. And she put $100,000 of her money and her mom's money into my business right then. Because she just said, maximum moment of despair is when even the tough guys run. I think you have to just look deep within yourself and recognize that maximum moment of despair could indeed be that darkest before dawn moment.
Yep.
And you got to scrounge. You got to find the money.
Well, I'll tell you, that what you just said, small business owners all over the country and some are around the world listening on the internet were nodding as you were saying that because we know about that, those emotions. Here's another question for you. One of the greatest challenges that we have in the 21st century as small business owners is access to capital.
Right.
We're more likely to develop intellectual property, many of us, and more of us, than we are to, say, build a new building, buy a new piece of equipment, or buy inventory. And we know that a bank can't file a UCC on a website or intellectual property. So we need help with access to capital. The traditional sources of capital may be drying up a little bit on some of the property that we have. Here's my question to you. Will there ever be a capital market for small businesses? And I'm not talking about NASDAQ.
I think that the stock market will always be prohibitive because it's such an end game. It's kind of where you go when you're finished, not when you're starting. I think that the best place that I always tell people is, look, it's a hit ratio. When you're starting a business, you need capital. There, you go to the. I literally went to the Venture Capital Association. I said, give me the list of names. I sent out thousands of letters. And then, you end up getting 10 meetings, and from 10 meetings comes two second meetings, and then one guy gives you the money. It only takes one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a hit ratio, but I think you have to be indefatigable. I think that that's really the essence of getting money, is to just not ever stop believing in yourself.
Jim, well said, and I got 30 seconds. Give us you said tips are for waiters, but give us one.
All right, I just want people to stop fighting this oil move and join and buy an oil stock. Oil's 8% of the S&P 500. It's going to go up 20% more from here. I think that that's the easiest place to be.
Isn't most of the oil increase speculation?
No, it's demand coming from China and India.
You still think most of it's from demand?
No, it is not speculation. My partner and I kind of disagrees with me. I think he's wrong.
Thanks, Jim. Will you come back another day?
Of course. Thank
We'd love to have you back. Good job today. Jim Cramer, ladies and gentlemen. Real Money. Don't forget to watch his show and listen to his radio show, too. He's a good guy. We'll get him back again real soon. Quick break. Right back with Steve Martin. We're going to talk about profit. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.